Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the Downstairs Pub, the college football playoff bracket reveal version, the new episode, a Sunday episode, if you will, of the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned Downstairs Pub, I am your host and moderator for this afternoon. My name is Travis Carter. We do not have Mr. Electricity here today. He's not able to make it on this Sunday, but we do have the original three. Down here over my right shoulder is the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar. Well, I really don't have anything funny to say. He's already
dressed normally. Like, he just, all the only thing weird that he's wearing is a big old frown. Just a big old frown.
Yeah. We just in the last half hour to an hour, the college football playoff brackets were revealed, the official brackets. And
we got some background
music.
Yeah, that's a funeral music.
Fred's Alabama Crimson Tide are the last team out. And SMU makes it.
And there was a teaser there.
There was a tremendous teaser.
Yeah, that really, really got my cojones pumped up. I think Tuna set me up for failure.
I was an innocent bystander.
I think you wanted me to really get my hopes up big time when you saw little old Clemson was number 12 after a earth-shattering win in the ACC.
Well, it's weird to me that
championship game.
They made Clemson the 12, and they have the same record as SMU, and they just beat Alabama beat SMU.
I get it.
And but they had, how would SMU be ranked?
Well, they had three losses. Little old Clemson's
the
only team in with three losses. They shocked the world and ate pizza today.
They did eat pizza, and Dabo's got his glasses on right now.
They found another way to screw me. Had I known this was going to happen when I was at little old Clemson this
Sundays
year,
are just a special
I would
day
have left some. I would have left some smoke bombs or something that went off. I don't know what I could have done to that little town before I left, but I sure wish I would have.
I would assume that Clemson had their pizza today because they're. Typical team meal of Chick-fil-A is not available on Sundays.
Yeah. So, and thank you, Domino's.
Yeah, and I'm also gonna find all my collector's edition $2 bills and burn them today.
Okay.
Collector edition $2
bills. Well, that's their little thing at little old Clemson. They hand out $2 bills
when they travel for road games. So, like, if they're coming up here to Louisville to play here, they come up and spend a bunch of $2 bills. And so to circulate them through. I don't understand the meaning of it. I don't know.
I think there's a lot of things I don't understand about little old Clemson.
It's just weird.
But I know one thing. They got my number on a few occasions.
It's all right. Little Louisville will take care of them for you.
That's right. Yeah, At least you got to go up there and see them get their ass beat.
We got your back.
Maybe we'll hire Hunter Renfro. Now, come on down to Bama, Hunter.
other games of note that were revealed today. The game that is of utmost importance to me, the 7-10 matchup. Your Indiana Fighting Hoosiers travel north to South Bend to take on Notre Dame, the first time that Indiana and Notre Dame have played since 1991. I remember that game very well for a variety of reasons, but very much looking forward to that. Penn State plays
Penn State plays
SMU.
SMU, right.
They got
right.
Smoo.
So Penn State and SMU play.
The winner plays Boise.
The winner of that game plays Boise, which is an interesting path.
An easy. if there is easy, and maybe there isn't, because if it wasn't easy to pick the teams,
right, and
then it ain't an easy path,
and the way I see it. And there really are no quote-unquote easy paths in a 12-game tournament with ostensibly the best 12 teams in the country. I mean, that's totally subjective. But there are paths that on paper would appear to be...
Did you hear that, Fred? And 12 best teams in the country.
And that's
I said ostensibly.
You know what?
I don't know what that word means, so I have...
I do want a chance to talk about the SMU-Bama thing. Just a small little thing, because I do have some things to say about it. But, and most will probably surprise you, but I do think that Ohio State and Tennessee... Above SMU versus Penn State, going against Oregon, the number one seed, is definitely a tougher road.
Yes.
I don't think that, you know, and we just heard, what's his name, Ward?
Yeah,
Ward Cleaver.
Man.
We just heard Cleaver. Ward say that they don't pay attention to any of that. They have been instructed by the chairman and the committee, not the committee, but the chairman or the commissioners, to not look at that at all. You are just literally looking at the rankings 1 through 12. Once you figure that out, you put them down on paper, and that is who they play based on how they're on there. So you can't really look at – a lot of people probably look at that and go, why would they see them there? And I think that Tuna and I are happy, and Travis – that if that's the way they went at it, that it worked out where conferences aren't playing the same damn team again.
Exactly.
Right.
Nobody
so
wants to see it.
Are you telling me that that was luck? Because if it was, then it was luck.
No,
I
think the committee, they made it that way.
Okay.
They're going to say a lot of things.
Right.
And it's just
I mean, it's yeah. very much like when they do the
college
NCAA
basketball
tournament and – you know, lo and behold, they work it out where, you know, Indiana plays Houston or something with Kelvin Sampson.
Right. Or Duke has a off year and Kentucky's right there in the second round.
Right. And they always say, we don't look at that. But, of course, there's
And coaching matchups, coaches that used to coach stuff.
Clemson, we'll just go quickly through the bracket. Clemson at the 12 seed. Takes on number 5, Texas. Winner of that gets Arizona State. Tennessee, as Fred was saying, will play at Columbus against Ohio State, with the winner to face Oregon. SMU and Penn State will play at Happy Valley, with the winner to play Boise. Indiana and Notre Dame kick everything off on Friday the 20th. In prime time, with the winner playing Georgia. So now that we know what the brackets look like, I want to go through this first, and then we'll go backwards a little bit and talk about some of the conference championship games. But Fred, I know you have some thoughts pertaining to Alabama and SMU. So with that being said, I'm opening the floor to you. Let it all out. Let it all out.
Well, there's
Fred.
Nothing to really say, because I kind of agree with Tuna. Like, I'm not going to sit here and bash SMU or bash whatever because Bama didn't get in. Look, if we really cut it down, Bama was lucky to get in. I know the committee didn't look at this or think about it. I'm sure they talked about it when they were smoking outside. But let's be real. Florida State got screwed. They were undefeated last year. They had a player hurt, their quarterback. They got screwed of getting in. Everybody screamed bloody murder, and they didn't get in when they maybe should have. I think it was a 50-50. ACC people thought they should have gotten in. SEC people thought Bama should have gotten in. Bama did go to the final, tried to win and took Michigan to the last play of the game. that all doesn't matter. But I think that there's some catch-22s where they had to almost take SMU. I mean, you can't, like you are saying, you can't play for a conference championship and be penalized if you lose. But at the same time, you can't watch the game and go, man, Clemson's up 24-7. I think we're going to knock old SMU out the way it's looking right now. Oh, wait a minute. I just took a 40-minute bathroom break and came back, and SMU's cut it down to 6. Now I think they should be in. I mean, they didn't win, period.
So you don't.
I just don't like
how.
You don't
think that being competitive in a championship game means more than losing?
I don't. For two quarters uncompetitive and coming back. I'm just saying,
well, let me ask you
what
this.
If they would have just scored a touchdown and a field goal, yeah. And it was, and they kind of came back, but they didn't. That's the gray area I don't like.
I think, and Travis, I'd like to have your opinion on this. Do you think Alabama gets in if they lose by one score in Oklahoma as opposed to by 21 points?
That's a great point.
I'm sure that would have been a... As
right.
they say, a data point.
Right, right. Yeah. And but I also find it funny that they're like Bama that Oklahoma was favored by 21. Last time I checked, the committee ain't looking at the odds spread in Vegas. So on paper, Bama's going to a team that is going to a bowl game, 6-6. Oklahoma, they didn't have the year they thought they were. They were ranked in the top 10 for a while. They were ranked in the top 25 for a while. They fell out. Played some tough SEC teams. They had a hard schedule just like Georgia did. And we got them on a bad day, and we didn't play well. We weren't prepared for that road trip. But what gets me is this is the icing on the cake, is I'm watching the game with everybody, and I'm like, man, game's kicking off. I need SMU to beat Clemson, and then I am in. Bama is in if they win. And then literally throughout the half of the game, it's not going my way. And SMU is now up. I mean, and Clemson is now up 24-7. And I'm going, man, I need Clemson to actually blow out SMU to get in. I don't understand how you can switch that. And so there were two different ways. And I'm saying that as a positive for SMU and Clemson, that a person trying to get in is literally looking for either one team to blow them out or the other, or in the same game, two different teams to blow the other team out,
I'll
which
tell
is
you,
crazy.
If I was on the committee, I would definitely look at that. I would say, okay, this team was competitive in this game, or this team got blown out. They don't deserve to be in the
I'm
tournament.
I'm with you.
If they barely lost at the end. That means more to me than a team like Iowa State. Say if Iowa State was on the bubble and if it was a close game, but the way that Arizona State just embarrassed Iowa State, they had no business even looking at the
playoffs. I get it. So you're also saying that the way Bama drummed Georgia 30-0 in the first half and let them come back 32-28, I'm sure maybe they looked at that and said Bama couldn't hold the lead against Georgia. Even though maybe we got points for beating an SEC champion.
I think that just went to Alabama beating a really good team.
Right.
Well, in the committee's eyes, a really good team, not in my eyes.
And I'll finish with this.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I think the committee did the right thing. I think it was the right call. I think SMU should be in. Because like Tuna said, I was talking differently last week on the podcast in favor of SMU, saying they were a tough team. The eye test last night did not show me much. The comeback, okay, it was an all right comeback, but it didn't mind blow me away. The comeback did not mind blow me away.
Yeah,
I think that they will probably lose in the first round.
I think it's like we said last week, or we've been saying all year, there's every team that's in this playoff has had a game where the eye test is not there.
Right.
You know what I mean? They even said it on this awful pregame show that is yet to announce the bowl games yet, that every team has warts. It's just a matter of how ugly those warts are, how those warts are perceived, and so on.
And if the warts bother you
as
a team.
But the eye test, I think you can make an argument that the eye test. I mean, if I'm going off eye test, then I'm leaving Texas out of this damn 12-team
right.
playoff.
I think we can all come away and say Texas looked like the worst team the last 2 days playing, except for Iowa State.
Yeah, throughout the season, though, like, they have just been scraping by, like, every week, and it's just...
Is Ryan Day wearing one of them pink Halloween masks that you wear over your face that matches your face?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that John Schnatter's? Does he use his makeup?
I think that's rosacea, boys. I think that's an actual skin condition.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's rosacea.
Or else he just got back from climbing Mount Everest.
Both are very possible. He looks like he's made of plastic. But the most humiliating thing is watching little old Clemson eat Domino's pizza. And then getting to be ranked number 12, thinking, oh, you're getting in if they're 12, and then hearing my phone go off to 121 text messages like pinballs that I'm not looking at, thinking, man, I think I got it. I think we're in.
My favorite
part
about that was that you got excited because of all the 121. You're like, I'm getting 121 people congratulating me for getting in. And reality was they were all just talking shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
You know what? Whoever gave me, whoever said they were sorry that I lost, you are number one on my Christmas list. Wait till I go through these things.
Yeah, I'm on there. I was Tuna, like, sorry.
Well, no, Tuna was, they were over here buttering me up like you wouldn't believe.
When Clemson came in at 12, I was like, Bama's getting in.
I thought they were in.
I felt like Ralphie right after old Pops tells him, look over in the corner, there's another present over there. Anyways, we can move on. That game is over. But kudos to Jalen Milroe. Can't wait till you leave. Nick Sheridan, if you're still there, our offensive coordinator, these losses are on both of you. And our defensive All-American linebacker wouldn't have been there, and I'm going to tell Bama Nation this. Maybe we could have beaten Penn State, but I got a feeling if Bama got in, we weren't going to do anything anyways. So I think the right team made it.
Well, there you go. This Tennessee-Ohio State game is going to be a sideline beauty pageant, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he just got up out of bed. Josh Hoople.
Hoople.
I mean, he really is a interesting-looking cat, isn't he?
Well, do you remember when he played quarterback in Oklahoma?
I do.
How did that happen in such a short amount of time?
I don't know.
I say short amount, that was 20 years ago, but like...
You know, it's funny because I can remember always, for those of you that don't know, especially back in the day, I was a huge fan of Elvis Presley, huge Elvis fan. And I would see these pictures of him from the 1968 comeback special in 1970 when he was in Las Vegas at the, 170 pounds, not an ounce of body fat on the guy. He looked like the handsomest dude that ever lived. And I would look at it and go, man, didn't he die in 1977 as a big fat guy? How does that happen?
It comes at you fast, man.
Yeah, life comes at you quick, I guess, would be the answer to that. But as you were saying earlier, all joking aside, I think that Tennessee-Ohio State game is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's this is like a I don't know. It's like, it kind of sucks that they're playing each other in the first round, but then again, that's what we want, like, is teams like this playing each other. I think Tennessee kind of got screwed here because, like I said last week, I think Ohio State is the best team in this field. And I said earlier, I think Tennessee is probably the best team in the SEC, in my opinion.
Do you think there's any way that Tennessee could come up with a new, like, retro or an alternate jersey, as they say? And put the Michigan wings on their helmets just to kind of give the Ohio State people a little bit of a tense moment.
Just do the orange checkerboards. The orange checkerboards.
Because they seem to be able to play well against everybody else until they see that yellow wing maze thing on their helmet.
If they just did black helmets with a orange.
Yeah, that would be tremendous.
Yeah.
And there's a real opportunity there, Tennessee.
Well, they
a
got
real
their black uniforms that they wear sometimes. Oh, yeah. But,
I took my sweatshirt off, guys.
Oh, go IU.
Hey, all right. I like it. I like it. And, you know, we're all extremely excited to have Indiana even be in consideration to make the playoff is incredible. To actually make it is beyond incredible. I'm not crazy about the matchup. I said that in last week's podcast that I thought Notre Dame was probably playing the second best football of anybody in the tournament. But
I wish y'all would have got Texas, man.
I
really
do, too. But as we have seen throughout this college football season, and obviously for a long time, you get there, anything can happen. And I cannot wait for Indiana to play Notre Dame. It's a kind of a dream game. They actually are on Indiana's schedule for a home and home later on in this decade. But as we were talking about before, and Coach Saban alluded to it on the selection show, where does it really help these teams if they continue to pick the playoffs the way that they are now? Like, does Indiana really want to play Notre Dame?
Well, see, I look at it the opposite way. I'm like, does it really help to go to a 9-game conference schedule?
Now, right. He even said 10 or 12. Or
see,
10.
I think that would hurt the teams more. I mean, if you're looking at this.
I didn't like that one. I didn't like what he said there as far as that
well, because,
suggestion.
I mean, here's the thing about that, and Indiana is a perfect example of that this season. There's more teams in the Big Ten than ever before. Indiana did play a nine-game conference season. They played last year's national champion and national champion runner-up, which you would think when we look at the schedule, you say, well, that's a pretty tough schedule. Well, neither of those teams were anything close to what they were last year and not as good as they were expected to be this season.
I mean, the Wisconsin game didn't help Bama going to
Wisconsin.
No, because
Wisconsin
and everyone and they were preseason ranked in the top 25, and they just didn't have a good year.
I think where the problem comes in, though, is the uneven conference schedules.
Right.
Because I know it's these conference or these schedules come out years in advance, but it just blows my mind when you have these conferences that are so massive now with, you know, 16 to 18 teams in them, and they're – some teams seem to draw nothing but the easy teams, and then some teams don't. They get all the
tough
teams.
Well, and last season in the Big Ten, or look for the last several seasons, so when they went to the what did they call the not the conferences? What did they call those? The divisions. When they went to the divisions, Indiana was perpetually number one to number five in the hardest schedule in the country every year, because every year Indiana was playing Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
Yeah.
Every single year. And Purdue, on the other hand, didn't have to play any of those teams.
And that was the thing with the SEC West also. I mean, you
yes,
could be
it was
Arkansas.
The, it was the same thing.
Where you're playing LSU, Bama, right. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M
if there was any voting or any kind of criteria, that was a heavy changer. You know what I mean? Now.
I guess what I'm saying is, how can we judge how good these teams are in a conference if they stop playing other Power 5 conferences?
I get it.
There's going to be no way to judge how good these teams are.
Right, right.
So they need to play each other. I mean, it has to happen. Nice. I don't know. You can't just stay in your own little bubble, beat each other up and say, we've been in the best conference. We deserve way more national respect. It's like, how do we know that? And that goes for the Big Ten, the Big 12, SEC.
And like your point, too, that is a great point last week. The conferences are all – you can't say that one conference is tougher than the other now, because Texas almost won the SEC. They just got there. Oregon won the Big Ten. They just got there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, say you go like what Saban was talking about earlier, going to a 10-11 game conference schedule.
I don't know, like that. I liked everything you had to say, but that.
You have one game where you play like a FCS school, and then you, other than that, you're just everybody's playing within their own conference.
Now, what about his other suggestion that I do think really good, where he said that if SMU don't have the strength of schedule or Miami that you think they should have, and you think Bama has that much of a strength of schedule, and Bama, and it sets up to where they have to play, that the SMU is still playing Clemson, everything sets up the same, but maybe the criteria changes next year to where SMU has to win that game based on the criteria, because they have a lesser, way lesser, better wins, the same type losses, one loss. I mean, Bama had two losses. They had one. BYU's ranked 35th
right now. The thing is like SMU, even though they haven't played them, they had two losses to two 10-win teams by a total of 6 points.
Right.
So that's –
but their win was BYU, who's ranked 35th.
Loss was to BYU.
Loss
won 10 games this year.
I know, but they're ranked 35th. They still won 10 games this year. As far as the schedule's concerned.
And then Clemson, who has 10 wins now.
The top 25.
I'm with you, but this was a total of 6 points to lose them to those two teams.
I hear you.
So, I mean, that's their only gripe. And I'm not saying that SMU's a better football team than Alabama. You know, I don't know that for sure. I don't know anything for sure.
I'm
just saying it's not as egregious as what it may seem like.
My other thing would be, because I you hear this sometimes, and I've heard this when they were talking relative to Indiana, like, well, they didn't beat a top 25 team all year, and this team beat two top 25. Well, a lot of those top 25 wins were early. They were ranked early in the season. Mm-hmm. How about we don't do preseason rankings?
I'm all for that.
We start ranking teams in like week 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because otherwise you end up with stuff like Indiana having to come from nowhere way back to even get ranked in the first place and then keep winning to stay ranked, where some of these other teams that were highly ranked at the beginning of the season lose 2 or 3 games and incrementally start coming down the
list. Sometimes one ass whooping can really hurt a team so bad they can go on a 3-game losing skid.
Think about how long BYU stayed right there in the 15-16 spot.
They did. Right. So you're winning that argument with me, because you're right. They are maybe ranked 35th now, but they weren't then.
Well, y'all's argument, though, the college football rankings don't come out until, what, week 8? Week 9?
Yes.
So the AP poll don't matter. No. So if you just ignore the AP poll, you're fine.
Right.
The thing is that ESPN likes to have those numbers next to teams' names because it drives ratings.
Yep.
Right.
CBS. So they're going to take the – it's funny how it switches, because early in the year they have the AP number on there.
Yeah.
And then come week 8, they ditch the AP and go right to the CFP ranking number.
Yep.
So they have to have those numbers just for that. Because it's intriguing. On a Saturday night, you got number 2 versus number 3 early October. So it's – I mean, I get it, but
– Hey,
that's how I get people over at my house. I rank all the – I just rank them myself.
I don't think people come to your house to watch football. They just come to hang out and eat.
They
and
watch,
then,
they
no,
watch
there's,
games, just not
it's a social
whole
event
game
with a side of football.
No, I think there's more than you think. I may grill for an hour, but other than that, I'm focusing on games.
Now, let me ask you guys this: of all the conference championship games, and I mean, I'm not even teams that maybe are in the college football playoff. Was there any team that really impressed you that won their conference championship? Maybe that wasn't even in the discussion, because there was one big one for me.
Yeah, the easy answer is Arizona State. I mean, I think so.
Well, Arizona State, of course, is in the playoff now.
Oh, you said, hold on, I misunderstood the question.
Was there another, like a conference championship game that didn't really have any effect on who made the playoffs that maybe a team jumped out at you and said, wow, this team playing great football, even though they're not going to make the college football
playoff? I would say
playoff.
Marshall.
I think it's Army.
Army, too. Mm, yeah.
Man, Army. And, you know, I watched them play Notre Dame, and I know they have a relatively one-dimensional offense or whatever. But that one-dimensional offense of Army's is a hell of a good dimension to have.
They got one more game left.
Yeah. And they're probably going to throttle Navy if
I
had to guess.
That was a really good Tulane defensive line that they did that to.
Yeah.
I don't know if those guys were checked out because of the weather. You take a bunch of kids in New Orleans, Louisiana area, and
that's true.
Put them up there in that weather where you have to tackle running offense, physicality like that.
Plus, it just they were probably never going to win that game at West Point
gassed.
At night.
Yeah.
So if Army has Duke on their schedule and they beat them, does that move them up? They're going to be 14-1, undefeated in the conference. If they had one game of a team that's ranked, say, 18th, 19th, that's all. Don't you think that's all they needed? Maybe to surpass Boise, or because Boise barely lost to Oregon?
That would be an interesting question to ask the committee. Is we don't know where Army ended up ranked, right?
I thought they would still come out with that.
Worst show that's ever existed.
Yeah, so. I don't think they have yet. So we don't know where exactly they were, but I would be interested to know. I mean, I know once they got beat by Notre Dame, everybody said, okay, well,
that's
done.
That's a great loss.
But I'm wondering if there was ever any discussion, like, man, maybe we're pushing Army off to the side way too quickly just by saying, well, they got throttled by Notre Dame, because, I mean, Indiana kind of got throttled by Ohio State. I know it's different, but but they did, you know? And I don't know. It's probably a little bit of my bias towards the Service Academy.
No,
because I would have loved to have seen, you know, Army running the single wing or whatever in the playoff.
The thing is, like, you know, UNLV was ranked higher than Army when they played Boise State in the championship game. So there was no way that Army could have leapfrogged either.
Only because Army lost to number 4 Notre Dame.
Yeah, they got blown
UNLV
out by Notre
played
Dame,
a bunch of bums.
What was the score to the Notre Dame Army game? It was pretty.
Oh, it was like 50 something to 10.
But don't forget, Army's quarterback was gimpy in that game. Yeah. Remember, he got hurt.
Did he get hurt in that game?
But UNLV's playing teams like Wyoming or whoever while they're playing Notre Dame. You know,
49-14.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, it was, and it really wasn't that close. And you could tell from the get-go that Notre Dame was going to put it on them that night. But I think, to your point, Army's quarterback was not 100%, which, I mean, that happens to every team in football.
And I think Notre Dame.
Get on.
All right. So we did have a bit of a technical glitch there, but we are back.
So does the CFP right now. Get the bowl games out.
Yeah, still don't know.
This is the biggest joke ever. The NCAA men's basketball and the women's basketball, too, they release a field of 64 all within an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
All within an hour. This has been going on for close to 3 hours now, and we don't even have bowl destinations for anybody other than the Gasparilla Bowl and the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Yeah, now they're interviewing Brian Kelly, who didn't even make the playoff.
Yeah, they're interviewing everybody that has anything to do with these teams that are in the playoffs. It's the biggest joke ever. I mean, some of these teams, like I said, are playing Saturday. They'd like to have their locations.
Right.
You know, you got people just standing by waiting to book hotels and buy plane tickets.
Yeah, no,
well, that's
real.
The big thing is, like, all the fans are sitting there going,
that's
all
what
right,
I'm saying.
Where are we going? When are we going? We got to adjust our holiday plans, et cetera. And we just don't know, which in the past they would – release the
look,
bowl games.
Look, I'm getting texts from everyone, Blazer and people that go to these games. When the hell are the bowl games being announced?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've been refreshing this thing. My little iPad's about to explode. Anyway, I don't even know, but no, what we were saying before that thing cut off was usually by this time of year, we've got mass firings, coaches everywhere gone. There's not a lot of coaches that's been fired yet.
Nope.
I thought there'd be a lot more openings.
Does that have anything to do with NIL or transfer portal?
I don't know. You feel like you'd want your new coach. I don't. Signing day was just yesterday, so I guess they're not gonna.
But maybe a coach could get a team together like Cignetti kind of did.
He was a kind of
and
a
just
late
be
hire,
like,
wasn't
he? "We're not gonna fire."
No, he was. So they fired Tom Allen the day after the Purdue game.
Okay,
and they hired Cignetti at the end of the next week.
Okay.
Like it happened fast.
Okay.
I mean, relative to what I expected. Purdue, as far as I know, has not made a decision.
God,
yet.
Who was it that was saying, was it Colin that sent a text about somebody that's interested in going to Purdue?
Maybe.
I don't know.
We were talking.
Your boy from, UNLV, Barry Odom.
Oh, that's right.
Barry Odom.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That'd be fine for them, I guess. I don't know.
Apparently, Indiana just sent out an email regarding tickets for the playoff game.
Yeah.
If you want tickets to the Notre Dame game, your best bet is to go to SeatGeek or Ticketmaster.
Well, there you go.
And so it looks like we are not going to that game.
Just wait for the Sugar Bowl.
He said they did include the form for seats to the Sugar Bowl and said they would have a large allotment for that game. So go Hoosiers. Let's go to New Orleans.
I wonder how many that Notre Dame is allotting to IU.
Apparently very, very few if that's the message that they're officially sending.
Man.
But we had also, we didn't realize that we weren't recording, but we did mention that it looks like Rich Rod is possibly going back to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like former national championship winning coach Scott Frost is going back to the place where he won said championship.
So the card missed all of that when Freddie was talking about.
Yeah.
I
think we missed.
Cause he gave
part.
A lot of praise.
Well,
did
we miss
to Central,
something?
Yeah. The card went out when you were giving all the praise to Central Florida for being national champs.
Oh,
so if you could,
they're not,
I mean,
national champs.
I think that you went through their whole roster that year and how good they were.
Oh my
were,
God.
And,
yeah, where's the trophy? I know where it is. It's down in Saban's closet. Actually, it's down there in T-Town and Bryant Denny.
What
was their strength of schedule?
That year in 2017?
Yeah, horrible.
That I have no earthly idea.
So I'm getting a rumor here that unless my Bama boy down in Tuscaloosa is kidding, says Bama playing Memphis in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
No,
that can't be right.
No, that's a Big 12 and ACC tie-in.
Okay. And didn't you say Memphis already had their...
Yeah, Memphis is already in a bowl. They're playing West Virginia in the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah.
Scoot around, baby.
So
scoot
your
around.
Your connections down there in Tuscaloosa don't know shit, unless they're if it has anything to do with winning a national championship, I'm sure they know. But when it comes to playing in regular bowl games, them boys are clueless.
Oh, I do think now. What's the game on here that you all think is the toughest game? Would you say Tennessee, Ohio State?
Yeah, I think that's.
I think so.
That's probably the. That's the biggest game of the weekend. I mean, they're all huge games.
I mean,
obviously.
What about the Notre Dame and Penn State matchup? Really, they have the same style. I mean,
well, those
I get
two teams
Penn State
aren't playing.
Indiana Notre Dame. I know Indiana throw. I think that their styles match up a little bit, don't you?
Well, I thought it was interesting.
It's a bad matchup for Indiana.
I thought it was interesting, though, earlier today when Galloway said, it'd be interesting to see if Indiana's run defense can stand up to Notre Dame's running offense. And then I was like, have you – do you ever – like, do you know anything about Indiana? Do you know what their run defense is ranked in the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're top 10.
They're top three, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're up there.
I'm not worried about Indiana's defense.
Look where Marty's at. he's down there in Miami.
It's my concern is the way that like Notre Dame's blitzes that they're going to do.
That's my concern. Yeah. Although I did get a little nifty piece of not necessarily inside information, but I was told by somebody that I think would know that after the Ohio State game that there was a kind of a come to Jesus meeting between the offensive coaches and Cignetti, and they have been working a scheme to specifically prepare for whoever they happen to play, which I'm sure everybody does that, but I hate to say that I don't really, because I do care, I want Indiana to win. But I'm just so tickled that they're in the playoffs that's at this point pretty much that makes me happy, and anything else is playing with house
money. Are we going to go through this?
I do have this, that Miami's got the Pop-Tart Bowl. That makes me a little sad. Duke got the Gator Bowl. Syracuse got the Holiday Bowl. And NC State's in the Military Bowl. Louisville's yet to be announced, but I guess that leaves the Sun Bowl for us, which I knew was going to fucking happen.
Where's that at?
El Paso, Texas. I don't know how Duke gets the Gator Bowl over us.
That's what I was gonna say. Like how did they figure Duke? And because first of all, the Gator Bowl, it's usually a good game. It's a fun place to go. I went to the IU Tennessee game there a few years ago.
Louisville fans would have flooded Jacksonville. Yeah, last time.
Yeah, it would have been a Louisville takeover down there. I can't imagine that Duke football travels.
They don't care
tremendously well.
They're worried about Kyle Filipowski's stats.
Right. So that is very surprising, and yes, a little disappointing that. That they would be in the Sun Bowl.
Yeah.
Which I always remember, isn't the Sun Bowl usually either a very early bowl game or a very late bowl game?
No, I think it's on December 30th.
Okay.
It's actually during the day on December 3rd. I think 2 p.m.
Okay.
And it's on a Monday, December 30th. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're probably going to end up playing Washington in that. So.
And who would it have been?
Who would what have been?
Who would that have been if you all played in the Gator?
I don't know. A lot of people were saying Iowa State for the Pop-Tart Bowl, and there was Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. There's South Carolina. There were several teams. It was an SEC team that you would play, I believe, in the Gator Bowl. So, I don't know. It is what it is.
Oh, man. Sorry, dude. I know that bums you the hell out.
Yeah.
Well.
We were all hoping for the Pop-Tart Bowl.
I'm not going to that game. In the Pop-Tart Bowl, congratulations. You got Miami in there. You know who's going to be playing for Miami?
Nobody.
Not one person.
I know.
That's right.
And is that a versus an SEC school?
The Pop-Tart Bowl is they're against a Big 12. So they're probably going to play Iowa State.
I thought Bama might play Louisville.
It's probably Miami and Iowa State is probably.
Yeah. I hope nobody goes to the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Tuna said he had Pop-Tarts here this morning, and I bet he's going to throw them away.
Yeah, they're going to trash. I ain't eating that shit.
Oh, my. Before we go any further, I do want to let people know that we are recording, obviously, today, Sunday, and then next week's show is also going to be a Sunday recording. We'll do a more of a typical regular show next week because we'll have the full week in between this week. Obviously, we did one show Wednesday, one show Sunday, just – the schedules, everybody's schedule, mine in particular, does not is not very, it's not going to work to have our regular recording schedule. So we will record, this one will come out Monday, and then we will record a week from today with the episode coming out on Monday. With all that being said, guys, anything else that we didn't touch on, any other of the college football playoff matchups you wanted to discuss? Or I wanted to say that I said this before we started recording.
We're all pissed off besides you.
Clearly, my number one team is Indiana. My number two team that I'm rooting for is Arizona State. I love the way those guys play. I love their coach. I love their running back.
What's he got on his head? Marcus Freeman.
What is with all these coaches?
I don't know.
What is with all these coaches?
I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know what that was. But I just want to say one thing. Georgia's going to win a national championship, and this is why. I determined that they're the Kansas City Chiefs of college football. They look like shit every week,
yeah,
and they keep coming away with wins somehow, and in ways that make no sense. And it's just get ready for it. They're going to win again. That's it.
Well, I sure as hell hope not.
Yeah. What is it? See, I
think he's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Is that
tree.
One of those things that make you grow hair with the lights in there?
Is that a chia pet?
It's one of those red light hats, I think. I think you forgot that it was on.
I think there's something going on with the ESPN cameras of all these coaches.
Did they just cut their heads
off?
They
all look horrendous on television.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, they look better with headphones and a ball cap on. I don't know.
Yeah, they need to get on the sidelines.
I know Freddie looks good with a lot of gold on, and all my gold's bad luck. I see a Clemson Texas matchup that reminds me of a fart in the wind. I can't wait for Tennessee Ohio State, SMU Penn State. Sure, I'll watch it. Indiana Notre Dame, can't wait. And then I guess it gets better. Like the SMU Penn State versus Boise doesn't excite me. But the rest of the games will be fun, and I'm like you, buddy. I am all IU, and I am all Arizona State Sun Devils, and I have a chance to win a 850 on Notre Dame future bet that I made at the beginning of the year. And I don't want everyone to know that Freddie – at the beginning of the year, not to toot my own horn, but Freddie at the beginning of the year said that Bama was not going to make the 12-team playoff. If you go back and look at the tapes, I said we would have three losses.
You did.
And we would not make it.
You
and
absolutely
one, and our
did.
And two of the losses were Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Your preseason and, ban by era sandbagging
and
caught
I
up
am,
to you.
I black-catted myself, dude. I black-catted myself at the beginning of the whole thing.
Trying to play it cool. And,
and I think Travis said, wouldn't we be tickled to death if IU? Well, they'd never get in the playoff. Of course they wouldn't. They could go, 10-2.
I thought 9-3 was possible.
9-3.
I thought 9-3 was possible.
And I love that we have overachieved in that side. I think if you look back at U of L, like Tuna said, it's a gut punch to know how close that they were in those games to where they would be in Clemson's situation. If they, especially with the loss just to Stanford.
Now, with the playoff brackets being now set and we know what's happening, I wish Mr. Electricity was here today because I would have gotten our envelope out and looked at our preseason prognostications of, I think we all wrote down three things or whatever of things we thought would happen. Or thought could happen. It was kind of our hot take.
I need to make mine go.
I can't wait to remember what I put down.
I will tell you right now that two of mine absolutely are 100% validated and happened. And the third one I just heard this morning when I was watching the NFL pregame shows. My third one does not look good to be happening. I'll go ahead and tell you what that third one was.
Well, should we just open it up?
Well, I hate to do it without
Sparky.
All right,
we'll
being
do
here.
It with Sparky.
We can do it next Sunday.
Well, don't tell us then.
I won't. We can do it next Sunday. It'll because you know we won't have as much reaction to do next Sunday as far as we did right off the bat here. It'll be like I said, more of a regular show. We can go through those, find out who was right, who was wrong, and if anybody put anything horrifically wrong in there would be the funniest
part. Wonder where the Bama is going for the bowl game, because guess what? No one will be there. Newsflash.
Well, we just accepted an invite to the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
It's great!
Hooray.
Frosted Flakes.
And we're expected to play a Washington team that sucks. So, that's fun. Yeah. Okay. I say that they suck, and they're probably going to kick the shit out of us. So.
Well, again, it could literally, and a lot of these bowl games could literally be second and third
string.
We can
go
players.
To another game. We don't have to go watch the Cards play.
I'm off for a couple weeks. I can go anywhere.
We could go somewhere fun and just say, man, you know what? Remember when we thought we were all disappointed sitting down in the basement? We could go to a game that really matches up with good teams in a good spot. And
I'll go to the Serve Pro First Responders
Bowl. There's Cignetti on.
Oh, yep. There's Sig. I'll have to rewind and watch that when we're done. College football playoffs are set. Incredibly, Indiana is one of the 12 teams. Alabama is not. Louisville is playing in the Sun Bowl. We're at the, getting to the end of this college football season. I want to just quickly, before we jump out of here, one indelible moment from this season, any team, any game, anything, one moment that you will remember maybe more than any from this particular college football season, Tuna.
This is very easy to me because it happened so recently. That is the 8 overtime game between Georgia and Georgia Tech, and the way that Haynes King played his ass off, could barely stand up, and he's out there doing everything he can, and watching how they were able to push that Georgia defensive front around on offense.
Yeah,
impressed the hell out of me, and basically 120 minutes of football.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yep.
I'd say that's the biggest moment that stood out to me.
That's awesome. Freddie, you got one?
Well, knowing that I sat on the bleachers at little old Clemson, who is the team that actually knocks mine out, blows my mind. But it has to be the night that we lost to Oklahoma. I had 30 people in my house, but no one watched the game with me. I was in my garage by myself trying to murder anything I could find in there. Baseball bats, whatever. I was beside myself, and I could not believe that Bama came in so cold and could not make one freaking adjustment, and that Jalen Milroe was that freaking horrible. And it come to find out today, it has cost us everything. So that was what I'm taking away from it. I know there's been some great Indiana moments as well, and that of watching some games, just being shocked, like, man, there, and also some of the gambling that's went on, the ups and downs that are so fun, and I can't wait for them to continue on. And now they're going to be a little easier because there's not as many games.
Both seasons what separates the men from the boys, boys.
That's right.
Like there's a lot of money to be made if you can do your homework.
That's right. Purdue officially just did sign Barry Odom to be their new head coach.
There you go.
And my number one memory from this college football season, in a season full of unforgettable things from my standpoint, was when Indiana beat Michigan and I was at Fred's house, and the same kind of thing. I mean, everybody was watching it, but I was in my own little world. That game, you know, Indiana does not beat Michigan very often. That was the third time in my life. So that was a very special memory, one that I will always remember. And hopefully there's a lot more to be made here in the next month as the college football playoffs get rolling. Before we get out of here, I know it was kind of a shorter show this week, more of a reaction show, but I will call last call and go around the room if you guys have anything to add.
Yeah, I don't have any picks this week because obviously I don't. I'm not picking bowl games. I haven't even been picked yet. So I guess I don't know if you guys know about this. Monday night during the Bengals Cowboys broadcast, they're going to be doing a Simpsons version
of that. I saw that.
I think it'll be what I wish they would do is have a Simpsons Manning cast with a Simpsons Belichick while they're showing a Simpsons game. I think it'd be cool. But yeah, I don't know what to expect from that, but I'm probably going to watch a little bit of that.
So, yeah, anyway, that'll be neat.
That's about all I got.
Fred.
For the person in Kentucky that bet $1.3 million on the Philadelphia Eagles to beat the Carolina Panthers, buddy, you're down 16-14 right now, sweating your nuts off. And just wanted to throw that on the air to see. It'll be funny when we hear this show to see what happened. But I think they're giving six. I'm not sure what if he knocked it down to
didn't
something
you say
else.
So they needed to win by 14?
14. I mean, the spread's 14. I'm not sure if he knocked it down. Oh. He or she knocked it down. Anyways, I also wanted to give the Kentucky Wildcats a great win traveling to Gonzaga, or traveling out on a long road trip, beating a Hall of Fame coach down 16 without their starting point guard and winning, coming back and winning that game. Fantastic job by Mark Pope to make adjustments. Cal, sorry, you couldn't do that if your life depended on it. And I just thought it was a great win. Not a needed win, but a boostful win for the rest of the season. And I'm just going to say this as a Bama fan. If you all you Bama fans on Feinbaum tomorrow, I sure as hell don't want to hear y'all bitching and whining the whole time that you didn't get in. You need to look at your quarterback right in the eye and tell him that he needs to move on. And you also need to look at the offensive coordinator who was a tight ends coach at Indiana named Nick Sheridan and wonder what the hell he was doing for a few games this year. And then you'll find out why Alabama didn't make it. And Kalen DeBoer, you let it happen. We weren't prepared for the biggest game we need to be prepared for. Oklahoma was, and here we are now watching everybody else after we created the CFP. Thank you.
There you go.
That sums everything up much better than I could have. Want to thank everybody for listening. Want to thank everybody for listening to this special reaction episode. We will be back here next Sunday with the show, a more normal show airing on Monday. We hope to have Mr. Electricity back, have the whole crew back together. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. With that being said, for the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kempf, and a despondent, fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, go Hoosiers, and so long, everybody.